Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for our consideration today is our gospel account. But I want to backtrack again, as I had mentioned before, on, again, with the theme, you know, who Jesus makes himself out to be. As we see at the end of our gospel text, he makes himself out to be the final judge, that you will stand before on that day and give an account how you gave account for the gifts that he gave you to be a witness of him in the world and served him. We recount the previous Sundays where we had the rich man who, of course, and again, these are Israelites. Remember, we need to understand that Jesus came, he was born, he was fully man, fully God, he was born in the flesh. He walked amongst the people of Israel for 3.5 years. He was the final teacher to humankind that would come. He was the voice of the Father. Out of the divine glory on the Mount of Transfiguration, the Father said of him, "This is my beloved Son. Listen to him." So as Jesus is walking amongst his people, the Old Testament church, his people, the chosen people of God, they were all born of Abraham, and they all thought they were God's people, period. That was it. But he walked amongst them for 3.5 years teaching them. And the stories in these parables and all of this are his instruction to the people of God. So he's not given an example to the Gentiles who do not know him, who serve pagan gods. He's not talking to them. He's talking to his people who have been given the grace, the gifts of his word of God, the teachers of his choosing within their midst, and all the grace, the means of grace that he had given to the people of God to be his own, to walk with him, to love him, to be reconciled to him, all of those things. That's who he's talking to. And we need to take heed ourselves that he's talking to us in our time. And again, you know, we can look at things in the church and see if the church is producing fruit or not, or our lives are producing fruit and faithfulness to God. But listen, sometimes we attribute, well, the church isn't growing because maybe we don't have the right pastor, or we don't have enough youth focus, or maybe we haven't modernized our services enough, or whatever it may be. No, let me tell you what, as our psalm so adequately spoke into this issue about human strength, organization, or whatever it may be, or even finding the most eloquent pastor and teacher in the world to lead your congregation, those in themselves are not enough. Remember what Jesus said. He walked with them for 3.5 years, and there was no more perfect teacher than Jesus, was there? He spoke, every word that he spoke was timely, was within love, perfect love. He knew he was directed by the Father to be at the right place at the right time, to speak the right words, and to administer both grace and justice amongst his people. And yet, after his 3.5 years, the perfect pastor in the midst of his congregation, you would have thought every soul in that congregation would be perfectly aligned with God, wouldn't you? After all, he was the Messiah. And yet Jesus, again, at the end of his ministry, he said, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, I would have gathered you as a hen gathers her chicks." Into what? Into the protection covering of God, because the wrath and the judgment of God is coming. I would have gathered you into this protection. I would have put my loving grace around you. I would have gathered you to my heart and into my salvation, in my protective sanctuary. But you would not. You see, God has given each one of us a free will, just like his divine will. And you know what? He will not push through that. He will not. He knocks. He invites. He brings his word, which is, you know, faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of Christ that gathers us in, into his flock. It knocks at our heart. Just like the Christian signs, many of you might have it in your home, where Jesus from the book of Revelation is standing and knocking at that door, right? You may never have noticed that, but look at that door if it's in your home. There's no handle there. He's not going to open that and push himself in. He's waiting for you, where the knob is on the other side, to open that door. And then he says, then we'll come in. The divine Trinity will come in and sup with us. He will occupy that place that he created man for. He wants to live in us as a temple. Okay. So Jesus is walking amongst his people and he's been teaching us, which leads to the, again, the closing. He says, I'm coming and I'm coming in judgment. So be ready, regardless of what hour I'm come. You make yourself ready to be found at him in peace on that day. Because that day, it's appointed unto man once to die, then the judgment. So you might stand before him in that judgment when you die. Every human person does. And remember, physical death is only the first part of death. The worst part of death comes, the eternal part of death, in the judgment. So you be ready to be found in him. So as Jesus is, I got to go back to that psalm. I got to read this because it's about putting our strength. It's not in our teachers. It's not in our format. It's not in anything that we do here. And he reminded Israel of that. It's not about external functions, the newness of worship, or whatever it may be that makes us an effective people of God and witnesses of God in the world. Look at what he says in the psalm, our responsive psalm. He says down in the middle of it, the king is not saved by a great army. A warrior is not delivered by his great strength. He has a battle out there. He's the strongest. The only reason, guess what? God can raise up a warrior with no sword, no buckler, no shield, and nothing. Nothing but a jawbone of an ass. And he can wipe out the foreign army. Right? The victory is the Lord's. It's not ours. It's not the equipment that we put on. He says, the war horse is a false hope for salvation, and by great might it cannot rescue you. Behold, the eye is on the Lord who fear him, and on those who hope is his steadfast love to deliver their soul from death. There it is. And so as Jesus is walking amongst his people, and last week we had the rich man again. He looked out and God had blessed him. Remember, all of us are created with gifts in the world. This man, God created to be a wealthy man in order to bless not just himself, but his community. In his land, God wanted his land to flourish and a great crop came up. And so what did he say to himself? He says, oh, look at this great crop. Man, did I fertilize good this year and did I do everything right this year? I need to tear these little buildings down and I need to build big ones. And I'm going to take this great harvest and I'm going to store it in the barns. And then I'm going to eat and I'm going to drink and I'm going to be happy. And I'm going to retire in joy for the rest of my life. Was that the will of God that he do it that way? God said, you fool, tonight your eternal soul is required of you. And then when you die, who's going to get all of it? You see, God gave him a great crop, not only that he might have it for a year and feed him his daily bread and have everything, but you know what? Instead of building barns, maybe he should have taken the majority of that great crop and taken it into the poor in Jerusalem and the surrounding areas and fed God's people with it instead of storing it up for himself. And so he goes on in all of these parables, and I believe that's why Jesus is saying here to us today in the gospel that, listen, don't store up for those things that'll corrode and corrupt on earth. You store up and you seek ye first the kingdom of God. So he goes into the parable. He says, listen, you put a great value on seeking the food like this man did. But he says, listen, the birds, they don't gather or sow or have barns to gather, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. And which of you, by your worry about the provision of life, you know why there's not more people sitting in here who bear the name of God in here? Because they're worried that they need to be at their jobs. The fathers and that work in the things. You know why their families are falling apart? And why? Because they think it's their hard labor that's going to provide for their goodness. And they toil all their day. They don't come to God. They don't put God first. They're always at work. They're not trusting God for their provision. They think by their great strength that they're the ones that are producing the food. No, it's not. God said, you put me first, as he said in here. And by what worry can you change your stature and your condition of life or anything by worrying? So if you can't even do that, what are you worrying about? And you worry about your fashion and your clothing and all of that, what you're going to be dressed in. Look at the flowers of the field. Look at the beauty that he created in them. They're here one day and then they're dried up and burned the next. And he says, I tell you that Solomon in all of his glory wasn't dressed like one of these. So what are you worried about, O ye of little faith? God teaches us here that he is our provider. He says, he tells us that the nations run after these things. That's why they pursue. That's why they're not in church. The nations, they don't believe in God. They don't believe God, the Creator, to trust and provide for them. No, they believe by their strength and their wisdom and they go about those things. But you know, that philosophy has come into the church too. We spend more time building up our 401ks. We spend more time about taking our kids and we think in the education and starting them out at Head Start because, man, we got to get ahead of the rest of the crowd or our kids aren't going to be successful. Christians, really? Is that your attitude towards God? No, that's what the world does because they think it's their strength and their ability. They don't have time for God. They don't have time to come to the church. They've adopted these same principles and so forth, and they're far from God. God says, they draw near to me with their mouth, but their hearts are far from me. How many times in every congregation that I've been in, but even in this one, I know the people that are on the roster, and I've seen them out there. Oh, Pastor, I know we should be in church, but man, our kids are just running us ragged. They're at all the sporting good events. Oh, okay. You see, again, God gave us 10 commandments, and one of those is honor and keep the Sabbath holy. That means attend to the things that are holy for your holy growth. They're not 10 suggestions, folks. Oh, Pastor, I can't be in church, and whatever, you know all the excuses, don't you? I'm so busy. Business is just crazy. I don't have time for anything. No, why don't you have time? God says here, listen, seek ye first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all of these things will be added unto you. That's his promise to you. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness in Christ, and all of these things will be added to you. He will give you to the measure that he's given to you. That rich man, he gave to be rich. But it wasn't, the riches weren't for him alone. They were to bless the people of God and bless the nation. I bet you there was a lot of people in that area, poor people, that could have used a year's guarantee of food. Right? Oh, absolutely. But how is it that the world lives exactly the same way? God says, you live like this, you seek first my kingdom and my righteousness, and he says, I promise you, you will lack nothing. That's his promise. So how are we? Again, he's the great teacher. Is the church today learning anything more than Israel did? Is Jesus, when he comes, in fact, he said in his word, his divine word, which is prophecy that speaks into the future, and he asked this question, will I find faith in the world when I come back? The Bible also says that a time of great apostasy, a falling away from the faith, is going to come. Well, we're witnessing it, folks. Everywhere, the entire Catholic Church. Catholic means universal, by the way. I didn't say Roman Catholic. Catholic means universal. Whether it's the Roman Catholic Church, the Protestant, Lutheranism, I don't care what it is. This apostasy is affecting the whole church. And God says to you, I sent you my son. I made a promise to you as your creator and as your provider that I will never leave you nor forsake you. He, even in the Lord's Prayer, has given us, you worried about your daily bread? I don't pray about my daily bread anymore from this parable. What are you worried about? The Lord already knows what you need even before you ask him. What's to worry about? I don't need to. I know my provision is going to be there. And there's other things that in the Lord's Prayer that we need to pray about. that we walk according to his will, that we honor his name and we bear his name properly, that we, as God forgives us, we forgive us, others around us who transgress against us. Sin should be like water off a duck's back. People say the hurtful things, they do the wrongful things. They should just flow off you. What do you got to worry about those little things in life? Keep God's commandments. Walk according to his glory, and he'll honor your life and make it exactly what it should be. That's what we're to do. He loves you. He gave you everything. His heart is, come to me. Drink of the waters freely. I've given you everything. You don't need to work for your salvation. You don't need to do anything. You just need to cling to my promises that are in my Son, what he's done on your behalf. Come and drink of the water freely, he says. And he says in the book of Proverbs, if you would have turned at my word, when you hear my rebuke and my instruction, if you would have turned, he says to you, would I have not made my word known to you? Would I not poured out my spirit into you? All the means of grace, this Sunday and all the time this church is open, we present the means of grace. These are means of grace that God's grace comes into your life. Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. Where are you going to get it? You get it from the word. You get it from the instruction, the means of grace, word and sacrament in the church. That's what he's given to you abundantly. It's all ours, saints. It's ours, the liberty to live in him. You're absolutely, Jesus says, I come to give you life and life more abundantly. The abundant life is, it's free of worry. Oh, that doesn't mean you won't have tribulations, but guess what? You don't have to worry in the tribulations. You just need to endure him, knowing that in everything that comes into your life, he's going to have a provision for it. Everything. Or does the word say in vain? God works everything to the good, to those who love him and are called according to his purpose. Not some things, everything. Little flock, what are you worried about? Get your eyes on Jesus. Seek his kingdom. He's coming. The judgment's coming. If you're not under those wings, get under those wings. And pull everybody else you can under those wings. Because the great day of his reckoning is coming. He's got a work for us to do. My Greek professor, when I completed the course, he gave to all the graduates a Greek course. It was a little poster. It was framed in gold. And it just had two Greek words printed on big, dark, bold, black, laser printed. Erkatai nux. It means the night cometh. It's right out of John. Look up the chapter or the verse in John. The night cometh when no man can work. It's coming. Right now. Work, the night's coming when no man, all your efforts in the gospel, all your life's living are going to be done. So work, therefore, because God has called you by his love and his grace. And he's coming back, whether it's at the first hour, the second hour, or the third hour. May you be found in him, working. Amen.